Top 5 Face Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
This is Top 5 Face Off, the official world ranking of everything. What are we ranking today, Hurst?
Today we will be ranking our top 5 and, of course, worst Star Wars characters.
It's coming right up after this.
There's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the Top 5 Face-Off. The actual fact. It's the Top 5 Face-Off. The facts are exact. Top 5 Face-Off. Top 5 Face-Off. Official world ranking. What's next? You decide.
So we're going to kick off this week with a couple of corrections. We had some emails. We had some direct messages from people we know about stuff we got wrong in the last episode. I repeatedly called Dr. Claw from Gadget the Hooded Claw, who is, of course, from Hurst.
He is an enemy of Penelope Pitstop, I believe.
Correct. I messed that up. Apologies. I meant Dr. Claw, not the Hooded Claw. Even his name is worse. The Hooded Claw is a better name. Dr. Claw's rubbish. Anything else we care to admit, Hurst?
Yes, absolutely. We have been informed that Ram Man, whilst starting off on Skeletor's side, did eventually move to the good side when he realised that what he was being asked to do wasn't appropriate and in the spirit of good. So he moved over. But there were some other good henchmen, like Trapjaw, for example, who had a metal jaw and could bite stuff. So
Beast Man,
fantastic. Yeah, so there were still some good henchmen. But again, thanks for the backstory. Our nerdy little Malcolms in the background.
Good work, Malcolms. Yeah. Anyway, enough of that technical stuff, Hurst. How's the weather where you are?
Weather is delightful. It's been delightful for the whole weekend. It's had the blue sky. Still got the chill because naturally we have only just transitioned from February into March. But it just it's really beginning to feel like spring. And as a keen gardener, that really makes me very happy. It makes me want to get out of bed earlier, along with the fact that it's lighter earlier. It's just filling me with the joys of spring. How about you?
It's been very good. I've been out delivering stuff in the sun, and it's been lovely. I've had to have my sunglasses on. I have my windows open so everyone can hear my summer playlist from my van. I'm sure they were absolutely thrilled to be hearing that.
No diggity.
So, yeah. Glorious weather.
Excellent. So what's been going on?
What's going on? A quick look behind the curtain to when we're actually recording this, because you may not hear it for a couple of days, but it is pancake day. Pancake day.
Nice.
So obviously I have had pancakes and we'll be having more pancakes this evening. But that also means that tomorrow is Lent. And for excellent Christians like myself, it does mean that I do give something up for Lent. And this year it's going to be, get ready for this, Hurst, because this does affect our other project somewhat. It's going to be fizzy drinks.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, well, look, Japanese energy drinks are typically not carbonated.
That's true. I could sneak some of them in.
So just try and access some of our Asian import energy drinks. You should be all right.
I should be all right. Pepsi Max is going to be a struggle. I do like Pepsi Max. I do drink far too much Pepsi Max. What about you, Hurst? What's going on?
Well, I had a delightful weekend down south for my friend Polly's birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Polly.
Yes, I'm sure she will thank you if she ever gets around to listening.
Well then, screw you, Polly.
Yeah, which she won't thank you for if she ever gets around to listening. I'm sure she will. She's very busy. But she did organise a banging birthday, so we're going to forgive her malfeasances and shout out the birthday, which included kicking off with Prosecco Pong. At the pub.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's right. It's beer pong, but with Prosecco, so the ladies can play.
Would like to apologise for any ladies listening to the podcast. Oh, my God.
Cue some letters.
Right?
I jest. Of course, women drink beer. We played beer pong. No, we didn't. We played Prosecco pong. But the important thing about this is that in the very last throw of the game, Polly's husband, Lance, who was on the team with me, he threw one and it came in hot. And you know how they sometimes go in and spin around and come out?
Mm.
It went in, it span around, came out and bounced into the other cup, which was the two remaining ones.
Wow.
Which I've never seen before in years and years of...
Ponging.
Beer ponging. It was quite sensational, and the ladies conceded that that was the winning shot. So yeah, that's what's been going on.
Right, very nice. And I fear something is also gripping your shit, whereas this week I've had a pretty shit-gripping-free week. So that's nice.
Yes, my shit has been gripped consistently over and over again because I'm moving house. I don't know if anyone listening has had the same experience as me, but conveyancing solicitors are not great. They're doing all right, but for me at the minute, it's the underwriters who just left us hanging for a week.
Right, yeah.
Because they were waiting on a document that we already sent them. So when our guy got back from holiday and said, so what's the latest? We're like, well, we're still waiting on your guys who are waiting on us for something we've already given them. And of course, if we roll over past the 1st of April, that's going to impact our stamp duty payments. So they may well have just cost us the best part of $2,000.
Oh, yeah.
So my shit is well and truly gripped.
Is there anything that's made you feel old this week,
Kurt? Yes, there absolutely is. It's come to my attention that you and I are both now closer to 60 than we are to 30.
Yes. I don't want to be 60.
No, 60 feels really old. No offence to 60-year-olds.
No.
it feels like an age when I'm looking at retirement, slowing everything right down, not that I'm exactly Mr. Mr. Energetic Mr. right now. Yeah, Mr. Busy, energetic, rushing around. But I feel like that's the point where I'm going, like, yeah, okay, now I'm heading towards pension age and all of that stuff, although probably not given the way everything is. But turning 30 just doesn't feel like it was that long ago. And if turning 60 comes quicker than that, which technically it will, and also psychologically it will, because the years go faster, I'm going to be 60 by next week. It's going to be rubbish.
Top five ages. Who wins? You decide. We should talk about last week, Hurst, and who chose
Nice, of course.
The top five bad, evil cartoon TV characters.
Who's the reigning champ? What's the official world ranking?
Who is the reigning champ? What's the official score? Let me just refresh the page with the answers on for the last time. Let me refresh it again just in case something magical happens. It does not. Hurst, you got 21 votes. I got 18 Ooh. Votes. You are the winner.
The crowd goes wild. All 21 of them.
Throughout this entire thing, I was winning until literally this morning. So thanks, people that vote late. Congratulations anyway, Hurst. Your cartoon villains are the official world ranking. Just quickly run through the names for the people at home. Who is in the official world ranking?
At number five, Cyril Sneer from The Raccoons. Number four, Miles Mayhem of Masked Crusaders, founder of Venom. Number three, Venger, who is your number one. And honestly, a very valid number one. He is a terrifying villain. Number two, Megatron, and the ultimate TV cartoon villain, as voted by everyone in the world for the official world rankings, Skeletor.
I can't argue. It's a fine list. Thank you, everyone, for voting. Get ready to vote again as we count down the top five Star Wars characters.
Whoop, whoop.
Where is the Coin of Destiny?
For any new listeners, the Coin of Destiny determines who will go first. Heads first, squirrels have tails.
Let's go. It's heads first.
Nice. Right. Well, I suppose I better kick off then. This was actually quite difficult. I made an initial list and then I really sat and thought about it. And then I changed it around and brought people in and out. There's going to be shout outs to the nearlies. But in at number five, I have R2-D2. Great little character. I know only a droid, but frankly, absolutely crucial to everything the main protagonists do. They would have all been crushed in the first hour of the franchise without R2-D2 in the trash compactor. They'd be like, Star Wars is over. There was nothing they could do without him. C-3PO was, you know, just camp and annoying, but R2 was legitimately the most useful droid in the history of the universe. He couldn't talk, you always knew what he was saying. He was eternally optimistic as well. He got enthusiastic about stuff and bobbed side to side. He was altruistic, brave, he was clever, and he was shiny. I love R2-D2, and the more I thought about it and looked into it, the happier I was with that lovely little droid. R2 at five.
He was kind of a droid puppy, wasn't he?
Yeah. A really good one, though.
Yeah, yeah.
One that rooted out evil. Found little Timmy down the well.
Oh, very good. All right. So number five for me, I've chosen Darth Maul.
Nice.
Mainly because he was a goddamn badass, and I like badasses. So I have chosen Darth Maul. I mean, R2 couldn't speak. Darth Maul could speak, but he barely speaks because he just lets his aura do the talking. And he picked a weapon that would absolutely slice his leg off within seconds if he didn't use it perfectly at all times. It's the most ridiculous thing, but it looks dope and it's cool. He got cut in half and he didn't even fucking die. Fucking Luke Lamewalker died because he made a forced phone call for too long. Not Darth Maul. Chop me in half. I'm going to be fine.
Did he survive?
Yes.
I thought he chopped in half and then fell down that big gap. Did we see him alive again after
No,
that?
He was fine. Yeah, he's fine.
He's fine. He's working at Morrison's now.
He was in the Clone Wars. So Star Wars The Clone Wars had Darth Maul in it.
Did he have legs or did he just have a body?
He had robo legs.
Oh, nice.
Like a spider.
That's true. And I think Darth Maul's outstanding. He is a total badass.
He is. He had a big fight with two Jedis, and he basically won until he got sucker punched.
Yeah, he was tremendous, and he did look really cool. Mm. I think when you go back to the car crash that was the Phantom Menace, he was there just holding it together a little bit for the people who were expecting something a bit more grown up.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, excellent shout. I like Darth Maul. So for me, number four, Luke Skywalker.
Now, Luke Laywalker.
Anyway, so I was thinking about this one because Luke's such an obvious, like, yeah, he was the guy you wanted to be in the 80s because he was the cool hero. And as a result, I didn't want to choose him because I wanted to pick something cooler and just go, no, not Luke. But ultimately, yeah, he was a bit whiny and annoying to start with, but he grew into his responsibilities as the new generation of Jedi. It was quite a lot to put on his shoulders. As I said, he's a character we all wanted to be in the 80s. And he was a great example of busting out of your box, fulfilling your potential. He was going to be a farmer on Tatooine or whatever it was.
A water farmer.
A water farmer. But no, he wanted more. He felt that he had more to offer, and he did it. So he battles the ultimate Sith twice, running to the aid of his friends, even though he hasn't completed his training. And ultimately, as I sat and thought, like, can I put him in my top five and still remain credibility? He could have easily become evil, but he surrounded himself with good people, which is what Anakin hadn't done. And that's really, it's the people that loved him and supported him that really brought out that good in him, even though the easy thing to do would have been join the Empire, join his dad, rule the galaxy. It was like, nah, not doing it. He had principles. I think he was just a good role model and a good character. So popped him in at number four, even though I'd love to have not had him on my top five list.
For my number four, I had Yoda. Grumpy little bugger I am in the first film. Use the force I can. Absolute fucking killing machine I suddenly become. Like, wow, that bit in whatever the second film was called.
Revenge of the Sith.
Is it maybe? I don't know. The one, episode two, I'll just say episode two. That bit in episode two where he suddenly turns into a bouncy ball that holds a lightsaber and starts all the way around. Oh, that was great. I love that. I reckon you could have won that fight with Saruman Dracula, whoever it was.
Saruman Dracula.
It's such a shit name, isn't it? Count Dooku. Oh, Count Dooku. That's not scary. In the original, he wasn't in four, was he? But in five and six, he was a bit of a dick. But like, he's far more chill in the earlier movies, and he actually gets involved when fools need a beatdown, and that's where I like him. So, yeah, Yoda. Iconic, of course. Although I think many of the people we're going to be talking about are.
Yeah, of course, these are all iconic characters, and you've got to respect Yoda's philosophy. He does that great whole try not, do or do not, there is no try. And that's some great stuff. Mm. And it does poke out some wisdom, but I can't help but feel that the fact that he was able to do all that gymnastic lightsaber shit, and he only did it once, it feels a bit like when you watch Lord of the Rings, and you think, Gandalf, do you just like have to power up for a whole movie before you can do something awesome? Yeah.
Why don't you just solve this for us right now? Yeah.
And then that's done. It feels a bit like Yoda could have done more after watching those early ones. It's like, yeah, let's make him into a badass. It's like, well, then what happened? Why did he go and hide in the Dagobah system?
Yes, there's a lot of that really, isn't there? There's a lot of why doesn't C-3PO know who Obi-Wan is? like, what happened? Yeah. Oh, they wiped his memory, I guess. Shut up, nerds. Shut up, Mel.
Yeah, so, no, fair enough. Yoda is a good character, but I have issues with his commitment. Also, he had a chance to train Anakin Skywalker, the only person who ever had a higher midichlorian count than him. He was like, now you do it, everyone. I know you've only just qualified, but you take care of that.
He'll be good. Well, he promised Qui-Gon Jinn, right?
It just feels irresponsible to me.
Fucked up, have I?
Yes, indeed.
He has his way of talking. That's iconic as well. I didn't even mention that besides doing it. His really strange way of talking that everyone can do a shit impression of, including me. Well done, me.
That is true. But also, he got so tired of answering Luke's questions, he just died.
Yes, just dropped dead, which is a pretty power move, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great mic drop moment, but I feel like, again, another turning point for the Jedi is that he just kind of dropped the ball. Anyway, it's your number four. That's fair enough. Mm. We're all entitled to our opinion. The fans will tell us who's right.
Yes.
So, number three for me, Han Solo. Great example of a layered character that battles with his responsibilities and becomes a hero, and he does what's right rather than what's easy. Again, as Luke chose the difficult path. Han, who was just a rogue and a scoundrel, he came back and was a critical part of destroying two Death Stars. And considering he was a smuggler and a bad boy and like just a cool character, funny, on top of that, the whole role was perfectly executed by Harrison Ford. And he could have been an ordinary character, but Harrison Ford, like in his first big role, carpenter on set.
That's right, yes.
Just reads in there, and they're like,
this guy.
You're Han Solo.
Yeah.
Imagine being the guy that was going to be Han Solo.
Oh, yeah.
He'd probably still go, which was my big break, but ultimately we got Harrison Ford out.
Freddy Krueger, right? It was Robert Englund.
Was it?
Yes, wow. And
good stat.
Mark Hamill was sleeping on his sofa and only went to try out as Luke because Robert Englund said, this film looks okay, come along. So wow. Freddie got absolutely spanked on that one. We're going to get emails telling me I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Off the top of my dome, that's what happened.
Yeah, Solo was infuriating, heroic, selfish, selfless, predictable until he wasn't, and then pure comedy gold. Just one of the best character performances for me in movie history. Rightly launched the stellar career of Harrison Ford, but also just a layered and awesome character. So three, Han Solo.
Cannot complain about that, my friend. Cannot complain at all. At number three, I have K2SO. He's the best. Like, robots have a bum deal in Star Wars for quite a while. Not robots, sorry, droids. Apologies to all the Malcolms. Nim, 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 nim. Anyway, they're either useless and pompous, like C-3PO, like you said. You had sassy little R2-D2, but he had aphasia for some reason, and no one could understand it, why they couldn't just make him speak English in the future. / long time ago, I don't know. Or they're designed to be cannon fodder like the battle droids in episode one who basically fall apart if you look at them wrong. Bam! Instructs K2 and immediately made all of them look like absolute malks. He's funny, he kicks ass, and he, spoilers, at the end of Rogue One, because he's a big goddamn hero. He is the best droid in a universe full of droids, in my opinion. K2 at number three.
Who's K2?
I knew that was coming from looking at your face. K2's the one from Rogue One. The robot, the security droid they reprogrammed to be on the side. Hang on.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, he is cool. And he's sassy. You're right. I can feel the ire of the Malcolms now for me saying, who's K2?
Sorry.
What? Test. No votes for you. Right, so down to number two. For me, it's Princess Leia. Not just because I totally had the hots for her.
Everyone totally had the hots for her.
Gold bikini and everything. Because she is a fine specimen of a lady. Stunning. But more importantly, in a time, 1977, not a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there were not many strong female role models in films.
Mm.
Leia arrived on the big screen offering zero fucks about the goddamn patriarchy and pocket-sized 5'1", bossed the shit out of the full crew of the Millennium Falcon, including a 7-foot Wookiee that was prone to pulling people's arms off for less. And you know what? They all loved it. Then she bossed out on the whole rebellion and masterminded the destruction of the Death Star. And also, she was crazy hot, Princess Leia. Brilliant for many reasons.
Cool. My number two was a good friend of Princess Leia. It was Han Solo. I put him at number two. Hey, come on. Tell him you love him. And he's like, I know. If he owes you money, he's just going to shoot you. He's not going to pay you. And he can make the Kessel run in less than 12 parsecs, Hurst. And who else can do that?
Yeah, I mean, he made it sound a bit more planned than it was. When you see the Kessel run, that was not a deliberate ploy to learn a speed through.
No. No, and considering a parsec is 3.26 light years, he'd have been doing that for millennia.
Yeah.
But anyway, like you said, he's the lovable, rascally space rogue, right? Honestly, I think he's the only human good guy in the original trilogy that actually has a personality. So, Han Solo, number two.
Yeah, he is just a great character. I've already bestowed my joy of him upon everyone. He is brilliant and a worthy number two. He jotted in and out of various positions for me. I was torn between him and Leia, but I just think that given it was 1977 and she was such a badass, that's really what tipped it for me. But they were a great couple. And like you said, when she told him, I love you, like, I know. Just a made up line, Harrison Ford just popped that one out of the back. That's what we're led to believe, but just absolutely perfect for the character. And then she gets him back when she goes and takes him out of the carbonite and says, I love you. And she goes, I know. Like, good couple, power couple. Outstanding stuff. So that brings us to our worst before we go in for number one.
Who's worst, Hurst?
Well, again, I didn't want to go for the obvious one because it's so obvious. Ooh. Jar Jar Binks. I had to. Just even thinking about him makes my fists go. It's like everyone was so excited about the new Star Wars is coming out. They're like, oh my God, they're doing the prequels.
Yeah, the posters were incredible. The trailer was immense.
Yeah, it was set up to be so amazing. It was so exciting. And then George Lucas went, yeah, but I'm going to fuck it right up. I'm going to make it basically a children's movie so I can try and get some more money out of the younger audiences. Meanwhile, I'm not giving a crap about all the people who've been his audiences back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, up until that point. It's like, what? Why? And we're going to put in a few examples of some of Jar Jar Binks' worst bits, just so you can remember how goddamn awful he was.
Now get out of here.
No, Mrs. Stay. Missy called Jar Jar Binks. Missy, your humble servant.
That won't be necessary.
Oh, but it is. It is demanded by the gods, it is.
Everything he says and does. Just why? You know, basically, if you're trying to stop a massive galactic takeover, like it's like if in America right now, the person that like the Democrats decided to bring in was some gurning buffoon to support. It's like, what are you doing? Why do you need this guy? He's... I'm furious about Jar Jar Binks. Well, I think I'm not alone. I think so many people who thought this could be really dark and outstanding were brought... I mean, the only thing that really detracted from how ghastly he was just how rubbish Anakin was as a child actor. It's just everything he did made me punchy. Mm.
Anakin troubled my worst list. Actually, it wasn't child Anakin I hated, it was teenage Anakin.
I hate them both.
Just so boring.
It's like, well, I suppose the woodenness of the child actor, I mean, it's tough because he was a kid, but if you look at Stranger Things and think how incredible those child actors are, they must have been able to find someone better than that, and it just, they ballsed it up completely. But he was wooden and rubbish, so they obviously followed that through to Hayden Christensen and said, look, just, we don't want to see any kind of personality or charisma out of you, so just stay in your box. And he did. Yeah. That's what I've assumed happened. Anyway, sorry, I've just wildly ranted on three now. Please, tell me your worst.
That's true. My worst is a little bit off-piece because technically not a character, although if you want me to, I will just choose one. I chose Stormtroopers as a group.
I saw where that was coming.
Like, what are they for? They can't shoot. They're bad at following orders, and the armor they are forced to wear, and if you look at the helmet, they can't see shit out of that thing, but they have to wear it because they have to wear the armor, which can't stop gunshots or bowcaster arrows or little rocks thrown by teddy bears. Like, why are you covered in this armor that does nothing? Maybe they can't shoot straight because of the fucking helmets. Maybe that's what's going on. And I know that the Star Wars Malcolms are going to be like, oh, me, you only see the bad stormtroopers. And the Empire actually wanted the rebels to escape so they could follow them to their hideout. Whatever, be quiet.
Shut up, Malcolm.
They're meant to be the elite soldiers of the Empire, and they basically suck. So, yeah, technically not a character, but shut up, that's why. Stormtroopers, more like storm poopers. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely right. I think that's a banging shout. As soon as you said, it's not strictly a character, I thought, this is going to be Stormtroopers, and he's going to be absolutely right. What a load of old crap. Surround yourself with a few ninjas instead. Train more Sith. You only need two of those for every 2,000 Stormtroopers you got.
There was one that said, I blasted the second one from behind, though. That was funny. That Stormtrooper's off the list. But otherwise.
So my number one character was Darth Vader.
What? Darth Vader?
I know. Out of nowhere, completely blindsiding you with Darth Vader. Just easily the best. Again, you go through the list not wanting to put Luke in because he's too, you know, like, yeah, he's the main good guy. Don't put him in. You don't want to put Darth Vader at number one because he's so obviously the best character, but he is so obviously the best character. I look from every angle to be cool and not pick the obvious choice, but I could not do it. So aside from being a terrifying antagonist in his own right, he's just a brilliantly complex character. And we've touched briefly on how dreadful the Anakins were, but if you look at Darth Vader in isolation, he was a slave child, won by the Jedi, and cursed by great power that he wasn't able to cope with emotionally. And given the importance of his destiny to bring balance to the Force, his being left to the tutelage of a barely qualified Jedi, as I mentioned, with, you know, like Yoda going, you take this one, you take this one, Obi-Wan, it's 5 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah,
feel that if Yoda had trained him and given him some more emotional philosophical wisdom that he later did grant to Luke, although be it grudgingly from a swamp in the middle of nowhere, maybe Darth Vader wouldn't have become a child-killing, world-conquering force of evil across the galaxy. Hashtag, I just say. So, yeah, I think Darth Vader is, and we saw at the end, you could see the good in him. All he needed was love. It's a sad tale, really. There you go.
Well, do you have a fact and an estimated fact about Vader for me?
No, I entirely forgot to do those.
Okay, cool. All right, well, I guess I'll just carry on. Actually, who's my number one? Because I did give it some thought, and I am obviously wise in the way of the extended Star Wars canon, and there's so many people to choose from that my number one is Darth Vader. Obviously. I know. Everyone, fall off your, wherever you are, if you're driving, shout out, especially to all the people driving, hello today. Be careful. Hold your steering wheel tight. You know, don't crash in shock. Although I fear that warning should have come beforehand and not 30 seconds after the announcement. I mean, obviously Darth Vader, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
Glimpses of Vader full chat were rare, but the end of Rogue One, where he's just stomping through the spaceship, you know, goes down that hallway full of terrorists and merrily murders all of them, is just absolutely epic. And I think it's the best part of any of the Star Wars films ever. He glues a dude to the ceiling with the Force and then walks under him and chops him up as he goes. Like, God damn, that's awesome. He probably could have stopped Leia's ship getting away at the beginning of A New Hope as well, but he probably didn't want to, did he? Plot armor and all that. I reckon the only things that are more iconic to come out of the entire franchise are lightsabers, the concept of the Force, and the music. And then Vader. How many people in any film anywhere can you recognize just by the way they breathe?
No, fair play.
Like, yeah. Exactly. Like you, we're not talking about pre-Vader Anakin. He doesn't count. Like, we're not talking about him at all. But yeah, for all the reasons you said, for all the reasons I said, for all the reasons that you at home know in your hearts, Vader, obviously number one.
I have a little thing you can do as well, because everyone can do a Darth Vader impression. Well, probably anyone whose voice is broken can do a Darth Vader impression if they have a cup.
Ah, Hurst's got up and got a... I have a cup.
Well, so I'm going to... I don't know how well it's going to work on the audio here, because I can't actually tell you where my cup is. But if you talking... Oh, no, it's not a good cup.
No, that worked!
When you left, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Do you just talk into the cup? No, it didn't work for me at all. What do you have to do?
I mean, these kind of pint glasses work. You just try and cover it, because it gets the resonance of the voice.
I found your father.
This doesn't do shit. I don't know. I'm no good at this. You'll have to teach me at some other point.
We'll do it in person some point.
All right, cool.
I am your father.
Yeah, it works best with those traditional pint glasses. We've got the little round edges at the top because they're thin as well. It really echoes beautifully because that's quite a thick, chunky kitchen glass.
Right, neat. Well, I did my job properly, so I have a fact and an estimated fact for you, sir. Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you facted in?
I'm plugged right into this.
All right, so cool. Number one, even though he is one of the most famous fathers in cinema, Vader doesn't have a father of his own. Like my boy Jesus Christ, his mother was knocked up by magic. Fact number two, actually what you were just doing, Luke, I am your father, was second in Empire magazine's poll for best movie quote ever, behind Frankly, My Dear, I Don't Give a Damn from Gone with the Wind. Which one is true?
Those are good.
There's Malcolms at home shouting at their iPhone or their computer or their car stereo, however they are listening to us in their ears, because they know the answer, Hurst.
Actually, I think you'll find that your fact isn't quite true either.
Well, yeah, that's probably going to be right in it, but...
Good one, Malcolm. I do like those. When you said the first one, I thought, yeah, I think that's right. Or at least that's what she's telling everyone. But then the other one does seem viable. I mean, there are so many good movie quotes. I'm going to go with the first one as the actual fact and the second one as your estimated fact.
It's two for two so far, Hurst. Good job.
Yes. The second one. Good estimated fact, though.
The clue in the second one is that Vader never actually said, Luke, I am your father. That wasn't a line he spoke, so
no, he
that's
just
why
said,
that fact
wasn't
true.
I am your father.
He doesn't say no, Luke, does he? I am your father, but yes. He told me you killed him. No, I am your father. The Malcolms will let us know. Hello at top5faceoff.co.uk. Who is on your honourable mention list this week, Kirst?
Well, Darth Maul that you covered earlier, just for being an absolute badass. Badass.
A badass.
How English of me. A badass.
Such a farty
bastard. The Emperor, certainly from Jedi, he was just heinous. Excellent evil there. Really reveled in the evil. Boba Fett is a cool character, although he did die stupidly in the end. Lando had his own city in the sky after basically being a hustler and that. So he was quite cool. And also, who very nearly made it for me was Jabba. I love Jabba. He's just basically a big slimy dude. He's not that bothered about conquering the universe because he owns his own planet, really. Yeah. And just lives in a massive nightclub that he owns, constantly drinking and partying and listening to music and tying hot chicks to himself until they get a bit unruly, and then he just feeds them to the Rancor.
Isn't that the dream, mate?
He's as bad guys go, I think he's got the right idea. There's too much focus on trying to take over the universe when what do you need it for? It's like billionaires trying to make more money. What do you need it for? Just spend what you got. Enjoy the rest of your life, because you aren't going to live forever.
Cole, the only one you haven't mentioned there that I thought about was Chewbacca, of course.
Oh, of course, Chewie, great.
Chewbacca, the hairiest person in space, and his very famous noise that he makes, which I cannot do, so will not attempt.
Something along those lines.
This is along those lines. You all know what it is. Join in at home. Yeah.
Between your Yoda impression and my Chewbacca, we can possibly do voiceovers.
Yeah, oh yeah, right. We should be straight in. So anyway, yeah, there are our lists. Go to top5faceoff.co.uk. That's the word five, not the number five. And you will be able to vote on your winner. You could also join the Patreon. That's right. For just £1 a month or $1.50 if you're one of our many, many US fans. You can join our Patreon and get to add things to the Wheel of Decision so we can find out. Yeah, look, Hurst is already very excited because it's time to spin the Wheel of Decision. Do you like to read out a couple of the things on the Wheel of Decision before I spin it?
Tom Cruise movies, TV theme tunes, 80s comedy movies, some good ones. Some that I can't see the end of. The Coolest Animals, which is beautifully vague, so that's going to really throw some...
That's right. Modes of Transportation is a nice...
Yeah, it's interesting, that. From the most energy drinks, Snacks to have with beer.
Snacks to have with beer.
Cool. Some excellent things on the wheel.
Any in there that you're particularly excited about and hoping for?
I feel if we did Tom Cruise immediately after this one, everyone knows what's going to be at number one of that as well. So maybe not that one, even though I do look forward to talking about it. I think any of these would be legitimately good. And if you at home want to add something to the Wheel of Decision, you can do so by joining our Patreon. And maybe this moment could be you. Let's spin the wheel. Off it goes. Oh, it's going to be Tom Cruise movies. Oh, well.
Hey, we can't argue with
the Wheel of Decision. So next week, you and I are going to be discussing Tom Cruise movies.
You and I are going to be discussing Top Gun.
Four times. And I can't bloody wait.
In fifth, the start of Top Gun.
In fourth, the bit that goes... Near, 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 near.
Third, Goose dies.
Spoilers, Hurst. Oh, my God. If you don't have the money to spare, and we can understand how that feels, just leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice. That would be great. Or tell one of your friends about us. That would help us out too. But honestly, just listen and enjoy. That's all we want you to do. We're on Twitter and Facebook, Top 5 Face Off, or you can email us hello@top5faceoff.co.uk. Hurst, you've got some paintings. Where can people find your paintings?
That'd be doghouseart.co.uk.
Brilliant. Please rewind this podcast for the next people to listen, and we will see you next week with Tom Cruise movies. I'm legitimately looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm going to go and start ranking them now.
See you later, everybody.
See you, rankers.
Top 5 Face-Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
It's like, how do you annoy Lady Gaga?
Poker face.
Poker face. That song gets stuck in my head so bad.
It is irritatingly good. It's by far the best thing about the podcast. Ah, stupid robo Katy Perry. You just seem to be using this podcast as a platform to offend people. And I am here for that shit. I'm going to rename it Hurst Talk Shit.
Yeah, the Trash Talk Podcast.
Right, yeah, that's right. Who's offended? You decide.
2 months' time is like my top 5 repercussions.
My top 5 cancellations.
Yes. My grip has been shit regularly. My grip.
my shit has been gripped, surely.
My grip has been shitted.
I can't hold anything.
Gritting. Yeah, I'm close to 60 than 30.
Is your kitten falling down in the background?
No, it's loud wife. She's come down and thundering around.
Yeah, you might have to wait for it to stop. Oh, that's true. I'll make your jokes again and then put me in saying them so I sound funny.
Hey, we're both hilarious. This is why we do it.
Yeah.
Make ourselves laugh and then, you know, if everyone else doesn't laugh, fuck them anyway.
Top 5 Face Off.